Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides podcast. A show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed. Because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Betches Brides. I'm your host, Nicole Pellegrino.
And I'm Jordana Abraham, and we are here with such an exciting guest. I'm really excited to learn all things beauty from her. Nicole, do you want to introduce her?
Yes, we are here with Leah Weyer. She's the GM at Birdie and Brides, two very popular publications. She was a judge on the TV show American Beauty Star, and she's the former beauty director at Hearst Magazine. So needless to say, she's a beauty expert. Leah, thank you for joining us. We are so happy to have you. How are you doing?
I'm great. It is so much fun to be here. I'm like already so excited.
Yes. Well, this is a perfect conversation to be having because I know our audience is like desperate for pre-wedding bridal beauty tips. Before we jump right in, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Are you also a married woman? You know, tell us all about it.
Sure. Yes, I am a married woman actually of 11 years almost, which is so crazy because it honestly feels like yesterday that we got married. It's like, you know, obviously like one of the most amazing, memorable days of your life. So, and I guess it's a good thing that 11 years have gone by so fast. We have two kids now, which is wild. So it's, you know, what happens in 11 years is a whole lot of life.
It's amazing. What's the secret?
Yeah.
Before you get into the beauty stuff, what's the secret to 11 years?
Well, I think the secret to our 11 years, which is probably super different than, you know, other people's, is that my husband, Nick, has been so supportive of my own life and stuff and job and interests. And I have done the same thing for him. And we kind of like live our lives in obviously together, but we have very strong, like separate lives too. And we support that in each other. Like, so, and not that it, like, I'm sure we feel resentful of each other at times, like, you know, because it's like hard to have like two really busy lives together with two kids. But I think that really has been the secret to our happiness and keeping things exciting and not boring.
I love that. That's great advice.
I love that.
Aside from all things beauty. Like,
yeah, exactly. That way you're like independent still and you still have some of your own independence, even though you're in this relationship.
Yes, because we have all watched friends not take that road. And sometimes it's fine. But if that is what drives you and motivates you to wake up every day and makes you happy and makes you positive about life, if you take that away, like it's really, I think it's just really hard on your marriage. So that has been really key for us. And then my background, I started out as like a lowly assistant beauty editor in 2000. So right out of college, I worked for Health Magazine. And so I did like beauty and style there and then left and went to Self as a beauty editor. I went to Fitness, was beauty director there. And then I went to Cosmo where I was like for half of my career, I was at Cosmo for 10 years. And at the end of my career at Hearst, I was sort of overseeing all of beauty for all of the brands. And then really felt like I had to learn this like digital thing because I was not doing it very much at Hearst. So that's whenever I left Hearst to go start the Beauty and Style Group at Dotdash, and they had acquired Birdie and then Brides from Condé Nast. And so now we have this little group cooking, which is really fun. And it's been really cool to learn the digital side of it, which I was sort of desperate for after doing 20 years of print. So it was time.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. So it sounds like your experience is perfect for this podcast because it's not just beauty, but it's also bridal beauty. Yes. So going off of that, I just want to jump right into what are some of the biggest bridal hair and makeup trends that we're seeing for this weird year that we're in, that is 2021?
Yeah. So I was doing a little homework before coming to this today, and I was shocked, actually. There's a story that we did on Birdie late last year, which was about the number one most sort of searched wedding hairstyle on Pinterest. And it the story talks about how the messy bun was like, the searches for messy bun on Pinterest was up like 1500% like year over year. And I'm like, okay, that is the perfect way to like start talking about this stuff, because clearly the pandemic has kind of like created this, you know, sort of switch to something that is effortless but pretty, something that you could probably do on your own if you wanted to, because we all kind of do a version of it on a regular basis. A lot of us do. So I do think, like, while your own personality and your own wedding style is going to ultimately determine your hair and makeup choices for the day, regardless of, you know, whether it's a pandemic or not. And regardless of whether or not you're having like a mini-moni or, you know, a 150 person wedding, there are things that we are striving to just try to do a little more low key, I think. You know, whether it's a messy bun or just like loose waves and that like lived in boho texture, like that's something that is what we write about a lot on both sites is weddings and just kind of everyday life, people doing that like effortless texture. One of the other things that I think is really big for brides specifically are accessories and the idea that hair accessories and the idea that a lot of women are sort of giving up the veil for like some beautiful hair accessory instead. And I was on Instagram over the weekend and I saw this incredible headband from Jennifer Bear, who we all love to talk about Jennifer Bear's headpieces, just like so beautiful. But there's a new headband that she has out that already has a waiting list called the Astoria. And actually it sort of reminded
me,
it reminded me, Nicole, of your like Bridgerton TikToks, because it's like very Bridgerton. It's very much like,
I'm ordering it right after this in five minutes.
Well, I will tell you, it's like you may have to definitely give up your veil for it because it's $725. But in a way for people who are not doing a veil and like want to splurge on something beautiful, it is like a really embellished headband is kind of a fun thing to do.
Can you wear it again? Because like you can't wear a veil again. So true. Like to me, like the cost of that, which is like basically just like tulle, seems like crazy, but I feel like you could wear a headband again.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. And I wore like 11 years ago, I wore Jennifer Bear accessories. I bought them for my bridesmaids. Like it's so timeless and beautiful. I've worn them over and over again. Just, you know, it depends on like how embellished it is, I guess, and how like willing you are to wear those things afterwards. But I do think it's like a fun little investment piece that is like jewelry.
Interesting. I'm telling you, I like that because you also, it's an investment piece and you can also kind of pass it down. I feel like if it's a nice piece, like you'd pass it down to your daughters or your granddaughters.
That's
or whatever.
Such a nice idea. I love that.
Yeah.
You know what? The other thing that I kind of love this trend of, you know, a lot of people pre-pandemic when, you know, you're planning a huge weddings and you're doing all the things. And one of those things was getting a second wedding dress and, you know, wearing it at the party. But I do love the idea of doing like a second wedding style, hairstyle, if you aren't mm-hmm. doing a second dress. And that was something that I had seen for the first time at my best friend's wedding in Jamaica, because she knew that she wanted something really beautiful walking down the aisle, but then she knew she was going to be like in the humidity of Jamaica and like wanting to dance her butt off like the whole night. And she wanted something that felt a little more functional. And so like, that's when she did like the cool ponytail and like, you know, fun, like party pony.
That's a good idea.
I love that.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Wait, that actually one of our most asked questions, which we'll get to audience questions in a little, but one of our most asked questions was like, well, I get annoyed with my hair down the whole night, but then brides will be like, you know, I want my hair down and effortlessly curled and whatnot for the ceremony. So it's like, you have that for the photos, and then just have your hairstylist stay, pay them a little extra, have them do a fun, easy, quick party pony for the ceremony. I might be stealing.
Oh, I love that. I hope you do.
I've heard of that for like rehearsal dinners. I feel like it looks really cool. Like the updo, like, like what is it? It's like a super high ponytail. Looks great.
The party pony.
Party pony.
That's what, there you go. I think the that's the pony. Term for it. that's so interesting though, that you're seeing those trends, the loose undone. I feel like I see that in everyday life. Like I feel like our friends want that all the time. Are you seeing specific makeup trends?
Well, this was interesting because I do think this really does play into what size of wedding you're having, because if you're having a bigger wedding where, you know, you are requiring people to mask and you're going to mask, and I think the go-to moment in terms of makeup is going to be something with your eyes, because like that's where, you know, the focus is going to be and you want to do something special. So we're seeing a lot of inspo taken from the Queen's Gambit with like cool eyeliner, like simple, but like that cool cat eye, just doing something that you feel comfortable with as a, whatever your style is of your wedding, that sort of like cat eye thing can play into this. Obviously beautiful. I'm not really like such a bold smoky eye, but like something that's more in that like bronzy tones. Like that's always like a classic, eye look for wedding. But then if you're having something that is small and, you know, you might not be masking, I think it is a moment where people are like, all right, I am so ready to wear lipstick again. I want like to go bold on my lips. I don't want to sort of be like my lips, but natural, you know, like sort of like a natural lip. Want, you know, maybe a red lip or just something that feels different. And I do think like that is sort of where you do need to start. Like, is it going to be about your eye? Is it going to be about your lip? Because then the hair kind of like comes after that. If you're wearing a bold red lip, it sort of needs to go with like a more classic hair look, because it might feel a little off if you're doing, you know, a bold red lip and like just totally undone hair. Like it might just kind of fight. So I think like kind of deciding what your makeup look is going to be can help you determine the hairstyle, all in the, through the lens of your style and your own personal style with along with your weddings.
Right. I feel like there's been so many brides that have been engaged, including myself, for like ever at this point. And they're gonna, I feel like we might see a lot of those bolder makeup looks, you know, the bold red lip and stuff, because brides have been waiting forever. And they're probably like, you know, this is my day to shine and really make a statement. Let me go all out. But I agree. You do have to make sure it like works with the overall look. And it, personally, if I had like a crazy embellished dress and whatnot, I wouldn't want like a big crazy hairdo and
totally
bold makeup.
It all, you know, like feeds into the beauty cycle. It's like the dress helps you go here and then you go here. It's like that, like, you know, choose your own adventure. Each step of the way will help determine the next step. But right, I think like skin in general is like such an important piece of all of this. Whether, you know, you're going to go big on the eye, you're going to go big on the lip, like the skin element as a bride, at least when I remember when I was a bride, was just like planning for this moment and sort of backing out your timeline to make sure that like you're getting all your skin things in that you want, so that when you, you know, wake up the day of your wedding, you can have skin that is as close to sort of like, you know, perfect as you can get it. And then the rest of it comes with the makeup, right? So like, I can remember, you know, for a lot of brides, like the first time they ever, you know, consider Botox is like right before their wedding, especially like if you're a late bride. Like I was a bride like later in my life, in my 30s. Right. So I had been doing Botox like already. And so it was just like par for the course. But then I had added in like these monthly peel slash like mild laser so that like each month I was kind of like getting rid of all the gunk and my, you know, sort of smoothing my face along or smoothing my skin along the way. And, you know, those types of investments are things that a lot of people used to do. And so it's much harder right now to do that. Obviously dermatologist's office are open and people are getting things done. But some people are just not comfortable with going into the doctor's office right now. And so that has become a definite challenge, I think, for people, although there are amazing products that can do great things too.
Right. It kind of feels like your wedding is like the time, like it's kind of like, it feels like the last call for like anything you've ever wanted to fix about like your face or your body or anything. It does kind of feel like, well, it's not like if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it for this event. Yep. When like, you know what I mean? Like everyone, I single person I know and care about is going to be there. There's going to be professional photographers. It's like, if there's something I've thought about fixing even a little bit, like I'm either going to do it now or I'm just never going to do it. I recently, had a consult for like Invisalign, which is something I'm not like so intense about, but I feel like it's the kind of thing where I'm like, it's kind of bothered me. Like my, like, you know what I mean? Like some of my teeth have kind of bothered me for my, like thought about it on and off, but then it's kind of like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it now. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have that mentality about, things like Botox or things like any sort of like beauty treatment. It's like, if I wanted to do it, now's the time.
Teeth whitening. I mean, oh my God, like how many people like teeth whitening is just like something. Also, another great thing you can do at home, because like I think white strips are just so effective. But you know, if you want to do it quick and in one shot, you go and get the teeth whitening done. So I agree with you. Right. It's like you're gonna just do it, and then might right. never do it again. But like it's done, and you had it for your moment.
Exactly.
It's become like a part of the wedding, the overall wedding budget. Like you put a budget aside for all the beauty stuff.
I love that.
It was an error, but honestly, maybe we'll keep that for, that'll be a new term that we can add to the bridal dictionary, the budget. But yeah, I mean, cause this stuff, especially like the lead up stuff, like we just did an episode that came out today actually with a dermatologist all diving deep into all the skin prep stuff. And like, you know, it is expensive and it all adds up. But if you're a bride like me, you definitely want to do all of the things. Like I'm going to be trying, you know, eyelash extensions for the first time. I'm going to definitely get stuff injected in my face, all that stuff.
So there's no shame. Let's just own it and it's all good. You'll be, you know, you'll be happy with the results and like you'll continue it or you won't. And it's totally fine. The eyelash stuff is interesting because that the extensions weren't really around when I was a bride, which is sad because they're so incredible. And they just make everything so much easier like that day. But so I did like the glue falsies, which they're fine too. You know, they're tried and true and they've been around forever. But there's all kinds of things now, like these home. Have you guys heard of Lashify? This is like,
no, what's that?
Lashify is, it's like this little kit that comes with these beautiful lashes. And there's like a, I don't know, they're like little tongs almost that you use to like dip them into the fuse, like the fusing gel. And then it makes the whole process of applying false lashes completely doable as your own, as a human yourself. Like you don't need to rely on a makeup artist. And I find like, you know, those for special events right now where people who are doing their own makeup, I just find like, if you like false lashes, they're sort of really hard to put on yourself. You know, like if you're going to use glue, which you really need to use on your wedding day, like you don't want to be like using a strip with that's like just adhesive. Like you want real glue on there. It can become a disaster doing it yourself. So Lashify has really simplified, I find has been like the simplest, easiest thing to do that look on your own. But there's just so many things for lashes. And so you're going to do the extensions, Nicole. That's so cool.
I think so, but I definitely will have to look into you said it's Lashify.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that for like the, like you said, like the pre-wedding events, like the rehearsal dinner, which I'm not hiring a makeup artist for, that kind of stuff. I definitely will look into that.
Yeah. I was just seeing it all over Instagram. Yeah. Like it was like, you know, once you get one ad served, it's like forever, you know, for the next 2 months you get it. So
all beauty stuff. And then you're like overwhelmed with too many options.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Kind of going off of the makeup topic, we had a lot of questions from people being like, I'm going to have to wear this mask like through, like up until the ceremony and then put it back on. What are your tips for like wearing makeup under a mask? Do we put on a special primer, and how do we keep it on? Or do you just tell your makeup artist to like follow you around the whole night? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, definitely a primer. Like I, even if you weren't masking, like a primer on your wedding day is just, it's like table stakes in a way. Cause if you want something that's, you want your makeup to last all night long, it's the only way your makeup's not going to just disappear into your skin. So like you need the primer to kind of like set it all up, prop it up and let it like sit on top. And it holds, it's almost like a glue in a way, like it holds everything down so that it's less likely to migrate onto your mask or like on a tissue or whatever. So it's going to help everything stay put. But then I think the best rule of thumb in a way is like use layers with your makeup. So like when you're going to apply your foundation, don't just use a liquid foundation, but like use a powder on top. That kind of like locks that in. So that idea of using the cream or liquid first and then topping it with a powder is really helpful for a lot of steps. So, even with your blush, for example, if you put the cream blush down and then you just sort of like tap it on top with a similarly colored powder, it helps the blush stay put, which I actually, once I learned that tip, I use it like in my everyday life because I love blush so much. And I hate when it's like 3 o'clock and I go to the, you know, the look in the bathroom mirror and it's like faded already. So that does seem to last. Yeah. It's a helpful trick. So I would use like that double layer, with foundation, with blush, even sometimes with, highlighter, because the cream highlighters are so great. They're like, you know, they're beautiful. They bounce the light. It's like perfect for pictures, but you do not want a cream highlighter like melting down or moving because, I mean,
we don't want anything melting.
We don't want like our face coming off, right?
Glitter face all over. So, you know, tapping it down with just a little bit of powder is like so helpful. And then I always loved this tip is using setting spray. There's so many different setting sprays. But if you use the spray and you sort of like go in an X shape across your face, and then you do a T shape too, it kind of gets it all over the place. So you do the X first and then you do a T and it gets like,
okay, we're literally for the listeners, I'm like trying to do it right now with an imaginary spray bottle.
Yes.
Cool.
So okay. If you're someone who's like doing your own makeup or your own hair for your, let's say your rehearsal dinner, or even your wedding, like what do you think are like the brands that you feel like would feel like most safe with for such a special occasion?
So I would say, I mean, everybody, there's just so many brands and
there's so many. Yeah. Obviously this isn't to say that anything you're not naming isn't great.
Exactly.
But your personal favorite.
So my personal favorite for primer is Smashbox. They've done primer for decades. They were doing primer before like anyone was doing primer. And so I trust their primers. They have like one if you're, you know, oily and one if you're dry, and it's just like they offer a full menu of primer. So that to me is my go-to for primer. For foundation, it obviously depends on if you want that like perfect matte, like airbrushed look. If you do, I found that Estee Lauder Double Wear is the best. Like it's waterproof for 24 hours. The stuff does not move. It truly gives your face, it looks exactly the texture of airbrushed makeup, which I think is, you know, airbrushed makeup used to be like such a big thing. Like
we had so many questions about airbrush makeup and if they should. Yeah. And I was like, I forgot that. I think I got it for prom in high school, but I honestly like don't remember
what does that, even
that
mean?
Being a thing. I mean, airbrush,
yeah,
they just physically bring a little a machine, a tool,
like almost like a spray tan for your face.
Yeah. Okay. Do we like that? What are our thoughts on that?
So, look, I mean, airbrush makeup was incredible before, in my opinion, before like super sensitive like HD lenses and like HD everything was the norm. Like because if it does pick up. I think it picks up on camera sometimes. Like, you know, if there's like a demarcation line, like on your jaw, which is very easy to do with airbrush makeup because it's like, you know, you're spraying it. So if you don't have somebody that's super skilled, it can actually not look that great, particularly on film. And I just think now there's so many foundations that sort of offer that diffused and really flawless look that you don't even need it anymore.
Right.
Yep.
If someone wanted to do their hair for like on their own, like what do you think are the easiest or like the ones that you would feel confident in? I'm sure you wouldn't want to go for something too risky if you were doing it yourself.
No, I mean, that's where I think the messy bun comes into play. Like it is something that we all kind of have a, you know, like the wrist action, you know what to do and you kind of can flip it. And I think with something like a messy bun, there's always cute things that you can do to it to make it feel special and not like the thing that you're wearing on, you know, a Zoom call with your team. So, you know, there's like little braids, like if you want to do a pretty braid down like the side of your head and then put it into the bun or, you know, going back to hair accessories, like putting like a really pretty clip or something like with it. I think that is to me the easiest thing that you could do. Now there's also, you know, if you're really good at with a curling iron and, or like a curling wand and you feel like super confident that you can pull off like loose waves or something like that, go for it. It is tricky to maintain that for the whole night though. A down look is like, it looks so beautiful. It looks so pretty in pictures, but you know, when you're on like round, like hour three of dancing and you're like completely drenched in sweat, like the hair is not going to look so great. So you have to sort of think about that stuff. I guess if you're having a small intimate dinner though, you know, wearing your hair down is not a thing that you have to worry about too much.
Right.
I will say I've mastered the art of curling my hair or waving my hair with a straightener, which is people think it's like a miracle that I can do that. It's not as hard as you would think, because if I can do it, any of you can do it listening. Right. So
do your own personal hair trial before. I feel like you could just get to practice.
Yes. Or like get someone to do a Zoom with you and teach you how to do a couple things, and then you can do it on that day. You can practice it.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
One of the girls on my team at Brides is getting married, and she did a virtual makeup session. The girl from Blushington, the makeup bars in New York, and she taught her how to do her makeup, and you know, she bought the stuff, and then you know, she did it. So it's definitely something that you can learn if you do a simple enough look. I mean, you're not going to, if you're not super comfortable doing like a smoky eye, then like, just don't do that. Like do something else.
Yeah. Do something you feel like you can do well. I see that. Not a good time to experiment.
Right.
Yeah. No. I'm picturing that going wrong if I tried a big smoky eye.
I could never, ever do a smoky eye on myself. Like not even for like just going to the grocery store. Like it's just never going to look good on me.
Yeah. Nope. Got to hire a professional for that one. Kind of pivoting a bit, we had a ton of questions around just like the etiquette behind all things beauty when it comes to your wedding day. So first off, who is expected to pay? And I have some thoughts on this because I think it differs by area. But in your thoughts, who's expected to pay for, you know, the bridesmaids' hair and makeup and the bride's hair and makeup and stuff?
Oh, it's so hard because it really, I mean, obviously it depends on your budget and how many people you have in your wedding. It's definitely not a must pay for, you know, if you're a bride, you don't need to do it. It's a great gift though. Like it's a great, little extra something for your party. If you don't pay for it, then you kind of can't really require people to go and do it professionally. I think have to be prepared that somebody is going to have hair and makeup that maybe like you don't love or you don't, you know, want, you wouldn't have picked out for them. And that I think is just something you have to be prepared for if you're not going to pay for it. Paying for it allows you a little bit more control over like how everybody is going to shake out and look. And for some people who want that, that's really important. And that should go into the budget you were talking about, Nicole.
The budget.
Yes.
No. Yeah. That's so interesting because I didn't know that like brides paying for bridesmaids' hair and makeup was even a thing before. Like, I feel like the last couple years from this Betches Brides vertical, I've learned that, but, I feel like it differs by like area. Like I'm from Maryland and I really don't think that's much of a thing, like the bride paying where I'm from. But then like all the Long Island brides I've met, not to stereotype you guys, Jordana, but
no, I think it's niche as like a friend group. Like at least it's this way with like my friends, it's kind of like whatever the first few brides do, everyone else just kind of like does that. Cause that's what they're I'm also like in my 30s. So I'm one of the later brides in my friend group to get married. And like most of the things I'm doing not because like I've researched national trends. I'm doing like, you know what I mean? Like if my friends paid for hair and makeup, then like, I'll probably do that too. Or like if my friends just paid for one or the other, like, you know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing. But if my friends had never paid for mine, I'd be like, oh, that's not a thing. I wouldn't do it. So I think it very much depends on like who's been there before you. And if you're the first, you're kind of set the trend.
Yeah.
In some ways.
I agree. It's funny. Cause I've thought about it and I'm like, you know, the day of you're getting your bridesmaids gifts anyways, like, would I rather just save, I'll get them a robe or whatnot. So we all have matching getting ready outfits, but it's like, instead of getting them like a bracelet or something random, I think I might just pay for one or the other, like hair or makeup. That way it's not me like breaking the bank on both things, but it's just one So yeah, it's just always interesting to see what people think about that. Cause I think it, like you said, it differs.
And now, especially there's so many beauty professionals who are out of work, that I, and we all know somebody who's like really great at makeup or really great at hair, or, you know, your friends know somebody, that I think it's a great time to, you know, to sort of help those people out in this moment. And it's actually not, it's probably not going to cost like what it used to cost, because it's just, you know, it's not as, if the demand is just, you know, not there. And it is a good way to kind of like support the beauty community and have some, a little extra help, like on the day of your wedding.
For sure. And then
I know people have this question a lot too, like tipping, is that like, what is that standard? Like
20%? Yeah.
Usually is what people do. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I kind of assume that, especially for hair and makeup, but I think a lot of people have that question. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, we get questions around like tipping vendors all the time, but especially for this stuff. Do you have any tips for brides who are scheduling currently in the stages of looking for a hair and makeup stylist and scheduling those trials? And how do you kind of like, do you prep for the trials? Do you, you know, have to prep your hair at all? Any tips when starting this process?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Pinterest and Instagram are your best friends in this scenario. Like, you want an inspo board for anything related to hair and makeup, because it's just, if you don't show somebody what you ideally want to look like on that day, you do risk, you know, you get one shot of it like that. You get one shot that day. You're on such a tight schedule. You're never going to be starting your makeup or your hair over, you know, for the most part. Like you want to be as clear with communication and that visual communication as possible. So I think having some kind of inspiration photos or a board of pictures to kind of help them understand what it is you're going for is just, it's a must.
Right.
And then you want to obviously share those images with, you know, anybody who is going to be touching your skin or your hair that day. I think whatever you can, if you can do some sort of trial, even if it is virtual, it's so worth it, because you can, that's your moment to work out those kinks. You know, it's the moment where you can say to the hairstylist, like, this is the look I want. And they can say, you can't do that with your hair texture. If we do that, you're going to risk it falling out in an hour. Then you're going to, you know, I'm not going to be there to fix it. And, you know, you work all those kinks out. And that is just, I think those are the three things I would say is like super important to test drive it.
Also, I feel like you kind of said this, like communicating with them. It's super important to kind of just be direct with them too. Like I have this like complex where I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings ever. But like, and I have an amazing hair person. We've done one trial literally forever ago before I had to postpone my wedding. But, and she, I thought I wanted this like low bun up, messy updo thing. And she did it. And she's so talented. Like it came out amazing, but I was like, I don't love it on my head. And I like the old Nicole would be like, oh no, it's fine. It's great. Just do this. But then I was like, it's not you, it's me. I don't want this hairstyle. So we're going to, you know, do another trial and work. And I think it's important to like tell, you know, you're paying them. So be honest with them and tell them what you like and don't like so that you can get to, you know, the end result.
I would also add too, like really be honest about what your own challenges are with your hair and your skin. Because, you know, if they don't know you and they're only seeing your skin or your hair as it is the day they meet you for the trial, they might not know that you have really oily skin and that at, you know, like 3 hours into your wedding day, you're going to have, you know, shine issues that you don't personally want to see in photos, right? Like, you know, I love shiny skin. And so like, I think it's beautiful, but some people want a matte look. And if you have really oily skin or you have really dry skin that, you know, 3 hours in is gonna, your makeup's gonna like look cakey and into different creases. Like, you have to be super communicative about what your own challenges are so that they can figure out the solution for you. Because this is a, you know, it's like in some cases, like 8 to 10 hours that you're going to be wearing that look. You need it to last. It's the longest that you're ever going to probably ever need your makeup to last, equivalent to like the way somebody is on set, like filming a movie, and they have a makeup artist and a hair person who's going to be coming up to them, you know, every couple of minutes or every couple of hours to like touch up. If you don't have that team of people there with you, which most of us, you know, don't, then you really have to be proactive about troubleshooting that stuff in the beginning.
Right, right. And I think, like you said, it's like, you know your skin and hair the best. Like, make sure you are telling your pros for your hair and makeup artist that as well. Like, those things about yourself that you know. Like for example, myself, I have like a big forehead, some would say,
a
hairline that starts back. And I'm like, don't put me in like a slicked back look, because from the side, I look like a turtle. So I will tell my hair person that. And you know, I won't waste their time, because they won't be, you know, putting me up in a high slicked back ponytail. Exactly. Or anything. So, yeah. So, this conversation has flown. I feel like we have 1,000 other questions. So we'll probably have to do an Instagram takeover thing with you and a bunch of other stuff if you're down. Cause we literally just have so many questions, so little time. But just kind of to wrap us up, are there any like last beauty tips for brides, or any like number one thing
you would tell someone?
There's so many things. I look back on my wedding day and I remember being like, I don't know, it was probably 9 o'clock at night. You know, I had been like dancing my butt off for like 2 hours already, and realized like I hadn't even taken like a sip of water. Like I wasn't even drinking champagne at that point. I was just having so much fun, and I was so, so thirsty. And so I always tell people, because like, you know, like being hydrated the night of your wedding is like, yes, it's a beauty tip too, because it is so important to stay hydrated, the day of your wedding and the night of. And so I always am like,
helps your skin. Yes, everything.
Totally. So, I always tell everybody, like, drink water all day long, and don't forget to drink it at night. And while you're at it, like, make sure you eat your dinner, because you've paid so much money for it and you need to, you know, be healthy for the night. So, that's my biggest thing. And also, everyone forgets about this. Everyone packs in the handbag, like the lipstick that they use, that their makeup artist put on, but everyone forgets to pack chapstick. Like, even if it's a teeny, teeny, tiny, like little thing of Aquaphor, or like a sample of something, you desperately need chapstick the day of your wedding, and you forget to bring it and apply it. So I would say chapstick and water. Like, those are my two things that are so weird.
Okay. It's like you're going for a hike. Yeah, like,
totally.
Like a camping trip.
Trail mix.
Bring your hiking shoes.
Honestly, bring all
sunscreen.
Yes, bring your shoes.
Got it all. Yeah.
Totally. I know those are weird, but I do remember specifically being issues for me the day of my wedding.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. And again, yeah, we'll have to share more via like Instagram, because it seems like we didn't even really get fully
in the surface.
Exactly.
Oh,
and so where can our listeners find you?
I'm most active on Instagram, which is at Lia Wire. And obviously, we have so many tips on Birdie and Bride. So follow us. We have got lots of beauty stuff for you.
Amazing. Okay. So thank you so much for being here. We will be right back with our happily ever after email for the week. Now it's time for our Happily Ever After segment, this week brought to you by BrideBright. Did you know that BrideBright founders Erica and Ryan had a happily ever after of their own? They chose to launch their company, BrideBright, together on their original May 2020 wedding date. From hashtag COVID bride to entrepreneur. Now that's one way to celebrate. In this segment, we give advice to our listeners about challenges they're facing in their relationships and how to overcome those challenges together for a happily ever after. And if you want to put extra sparkle into your happily ever after, be sure to check out Bride Bright for their easy and effective teeth whitening kit that will keep you smiling through it all. Here's our email for the week. Hi, friends, long time, not even engaged listener, first time caller. When I saw your Instagram at the Happily Ever After segment, I knew this was my chance for some real advice. I'm 24 and my boyfriend is 25. I know, dangerously young. We've been together for 5 years, and like everyone else who lives with their significant other during the pandemic, it feels like things are more serious than before. I'm not in any hurry to get married, but since we made it through a pandemic together and still love each other, I'm wondering how to bring up this topic of engagement/marriage. His sister casually dropped a hint the other day saying, "I don't know what your wedding will look like." And he said, "We'll see." His family is super Catholic, so the fact that we live together and haven't even talked about engagement used to be an issue, but it isn't so much anymore. SOS help. The gist of this long email is, how do I bring up engagement with my 5-year boyfriend? Sincerely, not even engaged, Betch. You were engaged pretty young, right, Nicole?
If how old was I? 26 when I got engaged? 27? Yeah, sort of. How old is she? She's 24.
She's 24, and you guys were together. You guys were together for a long time, right?
Similar, yes. And so using my own experience, I think I was the one, honestly. Like, I'm more of, thinking back, it definitely was me. Like, he wasn't going to leave me if I brought it up or anything. So I was like, fuck it, why not bring it up?
Right. How did you bring it up? Do you remember?
Honestly, I think I just, in a conversation about like the future, it was probably pivoting around like us moving and looking at apartments and whatnot. But I probably just brought it. I truly don't remember a specific time, which means I probably brought it up kind of often.
So you weren't nervous at all to bring it up?
No. Right. Because we talked about the future. It was kind of like we were already in that mutual, like, okay, we're going to get married mindset. So it didn't feel weird bringing up, which they've been together for 5 years and they live together. So I think it's safe for her to literally just be direct and bring it up whenever she wants. What do you think?
But I have a question for you. Like, if you were always in that mindset, like you were in that mindset from like the beginning of your relationship, like how did you, like, or did it trip? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, maybe this is the difference between relationships that start in college and ones that start like more deeply into adulthood. So it's kind of, is it just kind of like an expected thing?
I think, yeah, because we had started in college. So like right after college, I don't think we were like, yep, we're definitely going to get married with each other. I think like, you know, we graduated. He graduated a little before me. We made it through that year where we weren't together in college, or where he was not in college. I was. I lived with girls after, he lived with guys. I think when we moved in together, that's like when you're getting serious. That's like you're giving this a shot, you're trying it out. It's still not definite. Like, you could break up and not be together forever. But I think if I had to put a pin in when I definitely had the conversation, it was like after probably a good year of living together and making it through, which she also says she made it through a pandemic. So literally, trust me, girl, you can put a ring on it now and be happy forever. Cause if you can make it through the pandemic, you can make it through anything.
That's true. I mean, the pandemic is more like, not even like when you live together, you don't see each other as much as you do in the pandemic. Like, the pandemic is like a 24/7 situation. Like, most people go to work and come back. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. No, they're getting like the living together experience times on steroids. Like, if he was going to walk away, he would have done it because he's constantly there. So like, I mean, you guys are good.
So how would you bring this up for her? Let's say they just haven't talked about it. She's like nervous. You, as someone in a similar situation, like, how would you do it?
I would probably like make a nice dinner, sweet, fatten him up first. No, wait till he's in a good mood. You always want to have a talk when the other, like a tough discussion when the other person's in a good mood.
Totally.
So I would pour that tall glass of wine, make a nice dinner, put on something sexy. No, I'm kidding. But I would, yeah, maybe over dinner and just be like, look, I do want to talk to you about something, you know, something important, our future. I love you so much, blah, blah, blah. I know you love me too. Here's some favorite things about you, X, Y, Z. What are your thoughts on us taking this next step in our relationship, which is marriage? Engage him that way. Right. And if he's like freaking out and like, oh, what? Why would you bring that up? Then maybe you have some things to think about.
Well, I agree with what you're saying in terms of like the way he reacts to this conversation will be very telling. I would say, I think that way is one way to do it. I would say, I think if I were going to do it, I would make it almost like a little less formal, just like kind of trying to like, cause I feel like it doesn't even seem like she's so sure that she's like wants to get married immediately. It seems like she just kind of wants to like see how the idea kind of like sits with him, or like see what he's thinking, which I think is a much less stressful way to put it than like when like I want to get married and like, are you down? Because I don't even know if she's there yet. I think the way I would do it is do the same thing that you're talking about, like wait till he's in a good mood. And then I'd be like, so like how old, like at what point in a relationship do you feel like couples should take the next step? Like, what are your thoughts on like when you'd want to get engaged, assuming like everything continues to go well? Obviously, like we've been living together in a pandemic. I think we've been doing really well. Like I feel really close right now. Like I've been thinking about I've been thinking about our future, but I've also just been thinking about generally, like, when do you see yourself getting married? And then you can sort of gauge with each other, like, are you on totally different timelines, or are you
right?
And it's okay to not have if he's like, oh, like I didn't think I would get married before 27. Like, that's not necessarily like even a bad thing if you were like next year. It's more just like, is it something he's thought about? Now that he's thinking about it, is it something that aligns with what you want? And I think the real thing is like, can you find somewhere in the middle of those two dates that kind of like seems like the right fit for you? And also, like, it's also okay if he's like, I haven't really thought about it yet. Cause then you can say, okay, just like, this is something I was thinking about. If you want to think about it like on your own, that's totally fine. This is what I'm thinking. Don't pressure him to like give you an immediate answer about when he wants to get married.
Right.
Cause it's totally possible and very fair that that's not something that he's like actively looking to do in the immediate future, but he could still be like very happy with you and very much in love with you. So I would like make it very pressure free, be like, this is what I'm thinking. I wanted to know what you were thinking. And then like, let it marinate a little bit. And then you can circle back. Like, if he doesn't bring it up, I would circle back. And again, like Nicole said, like if he's on a totally different page than you, you kind of want to know that earlier rather than later.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, you 5 years into a relationship is, to me, in my eyes, kind of late to almost be having this conversation. And I'm not, sorry, listener, like, I'm not saying like you're behind, you're completely on track. You're so young, you have so much time. But I mean, I personally would have had this conversation, and every relationship's different. Like, I have friends that are getting engaged after 2 years of knowing each other, to friends that are getting engaged like I was after 7 years. Like, it's all different. But I think, like you said, you do want to get on the same page. This is something big. This, you know, kind of affects the life timeline. And I don't want to sound psycho. Like, you don't want to plan your whole life timeline out perfectly, because it won't go that way.
I think you just start with like gauging where someone feels like. And I agree, 5 years is a long time. But if they've started dating in like college, I can sort of see how they're like, they haven't really even been thinking about
taking
that.
Taking their time.
So I think it's okay if he hasn't thought about it. I don't think it's like most that it's like, if you're a 26-year-old guy who hasn't thought about getting married in the next year, like there's something wrong with you. I think that you get a total, it's okay. Like, I wouldn't like judge him for not having thought about it, but I think it's totally fair for you to like want to see where he's at. So again, if he gets like too angry or too like mad that you're bringing that up, I think that's a sign that you want to look at.
Totally. I agree.
I think we helped not even engage Betch, right?
I think we did. Keep writing in your happily ever after emails, your regular emails. Keep writing in to brides@betches.com.
brides@betches.com. And that's it for this week's happily ever after, brought to you by BrideBright. BrideBright knows that getting the perfect smile can be expensive, painful, sticky, or harmful for your enamel and gums. That's why BrideBright is an effective, affordable, and sensitivity-free solution for at-home teeth whitening. It's the perfect way to whiten your teeth and keep you smiling. Their BrideBright Wedding White Teeth Kit includes everything you need to do this from the comfort of your own home, with 3 brush-on whitening pens and a first-of-its-kind wireless dual blue/red LED light mouthpiece to accelerate the whitening process. I love Bride Bright. It's so easy to use. I love that it's like specifically tailored for brides and grooms everywhere. And they have their own groom kit. So you can like be like, oh, we're going to do this together. Especially if you like shadily love think it. That your fiance could use a little teeth whitening. You could be like, let's do this together. It's for brides and grooms, which is so fun. So check Bride Bright out on Instagram at Bride Bright. For teeth tips and more. And you can try Bride Bright for yourself by visiting bridebright.co and use code BETCHES for 40% off at checkout. That's huge. That's BRIDEBRITE.co. That's CO, not com. Using code BETCHES for 40% off.
Woo.
We also have some exciting things. We can't say exactly what it is yet, but check out BETCHES.com tomorrow. You are going to be in for a very exciting surprise. We're really proud of everything that we have coming out tomorrow. So check out Betches.com. We think you're going to really like it. It's some exciting new changes.
Okay. Tomorrow, March 16th, Betches.com. Check it out for a nice, sweet surprise.
And that's it for this week. Till death do us part.
The Betches Brides podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Brides and send us your emails to brides@betches.com. Betches.